Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Hello and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
And, oh boy, in a couple minutes, do we have that Urban Meyer Alabama story that is making the rounds? And to help us out with it, we're going to have sound from Vic Fangio. I know, it doesn't make sense. Great. Wait a minute, wait, what? Yes, Urban Meyer, Alabama, and Vic Fangio brings it to us. I know,
yeah,
it doesn't
Vic
make
Fangio's
sense.
Vic Fangio's like the third man in a hockey fight.
He is, yeah. It's like, wait, Vic Fangio is about Vic Fangio? It sounds so weird, you know? It's like when
coming down the aisle, it's Vic Fangio.
It's like when you hear in high school, like the next day at a party night before, it's, hey, you know who hooked up? Who? Susie and Ronnie. With Ronnie? What? It's like, I don't, wait, what? With Ronnie? Well, what? She's really, what? I don't understand. And you try to figure it out. It doesn't make sense. It blows your mind. It's, yes, we got an Urban Meyer Alabama story brought to us by Vic Fangio. Wait, what? Vic Fangio.
Well, he breaks news.
He
does. Not just a coach. He's not just an undefeated coach. He breaks news. Look at all the world is mine. I'm 2-0.
No,
Teddy Two Gloves
right.
is slinging it.
We
and
got the Jets coming
I'm breaking
town.
News.
We're going to play the Jets. Oh my God, this is going to be great. We're going to be
too cocky there, Vic.
Oh, just watch. This is now you watch Zach Wilson. Okay, enough of that. But first, want to welcome
hey,
in.
Hey, Bradley Chubb's not there. So.
No, that's true. That's true. But there's other players who are there who are better than the players the Jets have. So there is that. But big welcome in to our new Tulsa, Oklahoma affiliate, a 50,000-watt blowtorch. The Blitz 1170 out of Tulsa. They're going to carry all 4 hours of our show, home of the Oklahoma State Cowboys. So again, welcome inside 50,000-watt Blitz 1170 in Tulsa, and it's kind of apropos that we welcome in Tulsa and home of the Oklahoma State Cowboys on the 14th anniversary of I'm a man, I'm 40. 14 years ago, Mike Gundy had that famous rant, and I believe it's 4 years. But you want to know a funny story about that?
How
so he does the I'm a man, I'm 40 thing, right? Which was all about, I mean, people forget what it was about. And it was about a report that a reporter had that one of his players, a quarterback, was like being fed grapes by his mom after a game. And it was a really weird scene and all these things. And he was mad that it was written about one of his players. He's like, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, you go after one that doesn't do the right things.
Because he's a man. He's 40.
Come after me.
Yeah.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I'm 40. And, you know, hey, guys really don't, you know, the old John Mellencamp line, guys don't become worth a damn till they're 40 years old. So there it was, 40 years old, right? About a year after that happened, I was filling in during the day, probably for Dan Patrick on one of the shows on when I was at ESPN, and we had Mike Gundy on. And I'm like, and I'm talking to my producer, you know, before I said, well, I got to ask him about the I'm a man, I'm 40 thing. He goes, yeah, you know, how do you think he's going to answer? Like, I don't know. I said, all right, well, I'll do it and I'll do it my way. It'll be fun. So he comes on and he said, you know, we welcome in Mike Gundy. How you doing, Mike? You know, big game this week. And I joked around. I said, you know, did you tell the guys after you won that you're a man and you're 40? And he laughed. And I was like, okay, good. And he said, you know, I got to be honest with you. I can't tell you how much that's been and how well that's been for us in recruiting. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I go in and kids know me from that. They're familiar with the program. They've seen that and they've done research into the program and go, oh, okay, wait, this coach said this. All because I said that, people already know me. I don't have to sell Oklahoma State to anybody or all these things. I can do this. I was like, oh my goodness. He goes, so this moment that has lived forever, right? This moment that was embarrassing when it happened. He's like, it was the greatest thing for me for recruiting. It was fantastic. I go into people's houses. They go, hey, I'm a man. I'm 40. What's up, coach? So, you know, he's like, yeah, that's great. Okay, yeah, great. How you doing? But that's what it was. He said it helped him in recruiting so much. I couldn't get over that.
But it have allowed it to become the thing that cuts through. Right, you know, sometimes you'll be the butt of the joke for the long-term benefit, right? I mean, how many punchlines do we have from 70s sitcoms? That's all the guys were known for. Sorry, Gary Coldman, Jimmy Walker, and so many other. Mike Brady had some one-liners along the way on the Brady Bunch. I mean, that's what we know him for. Yeah, you know, Al Del Vecchio on working at Arnold's on Happy Days. Yep. So for Mike Gundy, if it worked, great. I was going to sing a little Bob Wills, "Take Me Back to Tulsa." I'm too young to marry. Later covered by the King, George Strait. I mean, there's so many songs that we can rap in as well. But welcome in on the Blitz. I look forward to entertaining, informing, and enraging you. All three things almost every night.
And you're a man, and you're also over 40. So it's good.
I'm a powerful and attractive man, as Gene Simmons would say, and ready to dominate the ear holes of Tulsa now. Let's go.
Now, speaking of college football, yes, here is that Urban Meyer Alabama story brought to you by Vic Fangio, the Broncos head coach, who, look, is enjoying talking to the press these days because every question is not about, coach, timeouts at the end of games. What's your philosophy? No. He's 2-0. He's excited. And he relayed a story that he had just had talking to Urban Meyer about what it's like coaching in the NFL. And here's Vic Fangio explaining that today.
I don't know Urban Meyer at all, really. I met him the other day, you know, shook his hand before the game and after the game. And his comment to me was, every week it's like playing Alabama in the NFL. You know, that's it. Everybody's capable of beating everybody in this league.
Right now there's people going, wait, when you said Urban Meyer Alabama story, I thought he was going to Alabama. First of all, that doesn't mean that's not happening. Just wait. You never know. Okay, it's Urban Meyer. You never know. But here he is. Okay, and this is Urban Meyer again. Here is reason number 47 of why Urban Meyer is completely in over his head, right? This is Urban Meyer has coached one game in the National Football League. One game. And before his second game, he says to the coach, every NFL game is like facing Alabama every week. How do you know? You've coached one game. No, preseason doesn't count. Nobody's really trying to win, except you were trying to win, and it was difficult. How can you know that every game is like coaching against Alabama? Unless you are completely out of your depth and really didn't understand what it was going to be like to coach in the National Football League. If he had said that like week 13 or week 14, I would say, okay, Urban Meyer sort of learned his lesson. Now, boy, every week is like this. There's no rollover weeks. Because you know Urban Meyer came into week one against the Texans going, they stink. They don't have a good quarterback. We got some talent. We got Trevor Lawrence. We're going to win this game. This is like when I used to open up against Northern Ohio when I was at Ohio State. It's a rollover game, and it's not, right? But it's one game. It's one game, and it's every week is like facing Alabama. How do you know? You know about coaching one game in the NFL. So you know, I'd rather hear him say something. Boy, it's difficult. It's this. It's that. It's like facing Alabama every week. And here he is making a college football reference to an NFL head coach. Right, I mean, this Vic Fangio's been in the NFL for like 95 years. Okay, it's like facing Alabama every week. Dude, you're not in college anymore. This is not Saturday. This is Sunday, right? That games were Saturday. These games are Sunday. You're going to make another Alabama reference telling me I'm still stuck in college mode. I'm still stuck in what it was like instead of, oh my goodness, these teams are all good. Everything, Urban Meyer, yet another thing this week that tells you he really isn't up for this, right? The statement he put out after they lost their second game, nobody's going to work harder than us. Everybody works hard in the NFL. Everybody does. Unless you know something we don't, that you're working harder than other teams are. Hey, I heard the Steelers took an extra water break on Wednesday, so I know we're working harder than them. What does that mean? That's a college thing to say. It's the things you say to 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids. It's the thing you say to a fan base when you're like, hey, we don't want you to turn against us. This is the National Football League, and still, he just doesn't get it. And he seems surprised at all these developments that are happening. Boy, every week is like facing Alabama. Dude, You didn't know that, man? It's the National Football League. These guys are in here every day from 7 o'clock in the morning until midnight watching film, figuring things out. The players show up. They're gone for hours while you're still in there breaking stuff down and ordering greasy fast food, having it delivered in styrofoam containers because you got to watch tape of another game to try to figure something else out, what their linebackers are trying to do when they call a certain blitz package. This is the NFL. And like every day I get this. Every day I get, boy, the NFL is really hard. Oh my God, really? You're just realizing that now? The NFL is really hard? Every day this is with Urban Meyer. Every day.
Well, I got a couple of quotes. I got a movie one reference for you that I think you'll love, and then we'll go back to the lyrics and my celebration of that Pink Floyd exhibit. But Vic Fangio, just for clarification for folks, not a longtime head coach, but 33 years in the National Football League, great coordinator, 41 years as a coach. And it reminds me of Quint when he shines, the Richard Dreyfuss character Hooper in Jaws. Well, it proves one thing. Proves you wealthy college boys don't have the education enough to admit if you're wrong. In other words, you don't belong up here, college boy. Go back where you are. If you're going to talk about this being Alabama every week, then that goes into the quote from the Thin Ice. Don't be surprised when a crack in the ice appears under your feet. You'll slip out of your depth and out of your mind with your fear flowing out behind you as you claw the thin ice. And I think that's where we're at with Urban Meyer right now. A little combination of those two. Is that confiding in another coach. And look, Vic Fangio screwed him over here. Ratted him out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
he basically said, look, they thought they were going to outsmart the room and it was going to be all, bells and whistles and good times. And, yeah, he got over on that one play, right, the touchdown early, and then they kicked his ass from pillar to post thereafter. I mean, that's it. And the other is just now you've got 15 games where you are clawing at the thin ice because you realize your reality is going to be very hard on a week-to-week basis. And the Jacksonville fans may be forgiving, but the national media, the national NFL fans collectively will not be.
Mm. It really is amazing that he still thinks, boy, it's so much harder than I thought it was. That's a thought that that is a natural thought to have. Okay, look, it's not something that's unnatural that you show up and go, yes, I'm ready to take this on. Not everybody is Jim Harbaugh jumping in going, I have this right now. I have control of the wheel. This is something that you realize shortly after you take over. Boy, the NFL is a little bit different. Because no matter what, when you start a new job and you take a step up in competition, you wonder, okay, it is. There's that welcome to the NFL moment that you have. But that comes way before now that he's still seeming to have. Well, I don't understand why the NFL is up. Boy, it's really, really hard. You should have had this by now. This should have happened by now. You should have been past it, and you should have been moving on and adjusting things. But still, he's stuck in college. He's still stuck making college comparisons and all the – I mean it. Over under December 15th, is he still the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah, no,
Now, remember, he's got to get out because he's got to get a college job before everybody fills their jobs. So that's why December 15th.
You can still have conversations because by then you don't have to worry about the extra plays that you were talking about and blitz packages because you can take interviews instead.
Look, I don't really care. We're going to lose. I don't really care about watching film. But we got to wait. Listen, Rob Gronkowski says he doesn't watch film unless he does. We don't need to watch film. We're good. We're good with the film.
We kind of enjoyed that one the other day. And anybody that didn't sense the sarcasm in our voices, come on, man. You know the show by now. don't take the players and what they say at face value. And certainly as we mock it, don't take that at face value either. Because you don't become a Hall of Famer by accident.
Twitter at how about a fresco? Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. I mean it. December 15th, and it's still going to be hard for him. It's still going to be hard for Urban Meyer. Oh, we got to play a game on Thanksgiving week. I usually have a bye. It's so hard. Finding it harder to perform at your best as you age? Fight back with M Drive, the daily supplement for driven men who refuse to let age beat them. M Drive supports healthy testosterone levels and boosts energy to help you regain your edge. Visit MDriveForMen.com for 20% off your first first order with promo code Smith. There's free shipping and a 60-day guarantee. That's mdriveformen.com. You get 20% off your first order with promo code Smith and free shipping and a 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Visit mdriveformen.com. Well, coming up next, evidence that one big-time NBA front office listens to our show, and what NBA coach tried to shovel a whole bunch of crap into the back of our cars today. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Okay, then. That's how it's going to go. Right now, top of the sixth inning, the Giants lead the Padres 4-1. Chris Bryant with a bases-clearing double in the first inning. It's a big game because Colorado knocked Walker Buehler out of this game tonight in the fourth inning by scoring five runs. They went on to double up the Dodgers. This game went fine a little bit ago, 10-5. So right now the Dodgers are sitting with 10 games left to go. And at the end of the night tonight, they could be chasing the Giants again by two games. No matter how close the Dodgers get, the Giants keep keeping first place, and then the Dodgers falter just a little bit. The Giants keep winning. It really is a shame that one of these teams has to play in the wild card, but kind of this is how it goes, which is why the last 10 games are such a big deal.
Well, that's just it. It's a thrill factor, and I know Dodgers fans certainly don't want to hear it. Giants fans, yeah, they're up in the standings and have the chance to make it a two-game lead. They don't like it either, and over in San Diego, for all the misery and all the hot takes that came out of Machado and Fernando Tatis and whatever, that they're just sitting there licking their chops going, all right, give us one game. Like, let's go. Come on. One time, one bad pitch, and we got you. Mm-hmm. We can always complain about playoff scenarios and all these different sequences. Everybody wants to say, all right, now it should be, because of what's going on here, it should be a three-game series. Like, all right, were you yelling that last year? Will you yell that next year? Right. I heard folks earlier today trying to say, you know, there should be a mandatory. If you have at least a 10-game lead over one of the wild card teams, you should not be like, all right, are we going to arbitrarily move the line with our fandom? Is that what we're doing here? Because we could do that all the time. It's like, all right, this year it had this, so now we've got 37 caveats to it. And I need another amendment to that rule while we're at it in terms of picking playoff teams. And if this team has more than four guys with red hair and a Fu Manchu mustache, they don't get to go to the playoffs. What are we doing here?
Yeah,
well, like you decided on the rules. This is what it is. That means some years, just like in college football and this play-in stuff and all these other permutations you have to try to spice things up, someone's gonna get left out, right? The selection committee for the men's or women's NCAA tournament. Someone's going to be mad. What do you keep expanding it to infinity? Hey, that season just ended last week. All right, let's go. I mean, because people are making a big deal of it now, right? As they get ready to descend on training camps for the NBA. You know, it was just a year ago. Here's what Anthony Davis did en route to the Lakers winning in the bubble. And then we've had a team win, and now we'll start our third season within a calendar year, basically. And people are wringing their hands going, this is weird. It's like, but it happened. Embrace it. Likewise, this, you may not like it, and I know my Dodger fans that are working on the show, around the show, hi, Frostberg, are going to be pissed, but these are the rules of engagement. Win another game. I'm sorry.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Tonight's show brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas. The greatest arena on earth. Plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. That's visitlasvegas.com. I'm telling you, watch out. The Raiders.
Let's go. Bears are there in a couple weeks. Come on. Let's go, buddy.
Yeah, hey, keep beating the Bears, man. You just follow the Bears all around and keep watching losses all across the league.
Jason Cole will be like, how much did you spend for that one, buddy?
Last night we talked about Warriors owner Joe Lacob, who talked about potentially acquiring Ben Simmons, who put out via sources a day ago, he never wants to play for the 76ers again. The All-Star said, I won't put on an NBA uniform until I am on a new team. And then Joe Lacob was asked, hey, would you guys go after him? I've told you for a long time, Ben Simmons would be a great fit with the Warriors. Well, not according to Joe Lacob. He said, quote, in some ways, it doesn't really fit what we're doing. So losing and finishing in eighth place and not really making the playoffs. He makes a lot of money. Oh, right, right. Guys will make a lot of money. Can he finish games? I don't know. He's talented. We have Draymond. Draymond and him are very similar in the sense that neither one really shoots and they do a lot of the playmaking. That's one issue. The salary structure is another. Okay, first of all, you'd be trading a guy like Wiggins to go get him, so that would happen. He's going to give you a little bit more offensive than Draymond, and how many shots are going to be out there? Okay, Steph and Klay are going to take all of them, all right? So it's not, so remember, Klay's coming back. There's not as many shots as there were last year when it was only Steph Curry. But he gets fined $50,000 today for violating the league's anti-tampering rule. And I'm here to tell you, how did he violate it? He said they don't want him. How can you say – they asked me. I said, no, we don't want him. That's not – tampering
the letter of the law is saying you can't talk about him.
Right, but he's talking about not wanting him.
He's under contract elsewhere.
Yeah, right, but he's talking about not wanting him. He does. I mean,
no, this was a – we want to make sure everybody knows we – yeah,
that's not the spirit of the rule.
But given the past, hey, this guy said something on a podcast, whatever else, just addressing it at all and not just dismissing it. That guy's on another team. Next question. You know, we're on to Cincinnati. They're just trying to make sure they're consistent. It's like the idiotic taunting rule and all the explanations and justifications that people are falling into. And some of the takes I've seen are just beyond bad. Yes, all those brawls we have in the NFL. Anyway, but back to this. Just the consistency of, like, find it and move on. There's more to talk about the roster composition, which I saw some takes that were very reminiscent of what we did several weeks ago when we first broached this issue. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that is what it is. But 50K, whatever, you shake it out. And if it gets you some goodwill with your team and the players currently there, I mean, you got questions about Andrew Wiggins and vaccination and whether he's available for half the season. So that's a whole other thing that's far bigger than the 50K that he got fined.
But I said we didn't want him. It doesn't matter. But I said we didn't want him. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Cash
just
or check.
Just keep saying it doesn't matter. You just got to make that out to me. But Ben Simmons kind of had another day today thanks to Doc Rivers. Right now, I hate to say I told you so, but we kind of told you so. Last night, when the whole story broke with Ben Simmons, we said this is Doc Rivers' fault. Now, you can find the faults with Ben Simmons, and there's lots of them. Ben Simmons played terribly in the playoffs, right? Wouldn't take a shot in the fourth quarter. Ben Simmons is limited offensively. He's still a superstar player. What he can do driving, dishing, rebounding, and defensively, right? He's still a really terrific player. He can't shoot, right? We get it. And with the Sixers needed him to be the second best player on the team, be an option behind Joel Embiid. He's not that guy. He was bad, and he got roasted all through the playoffs. And the reason this Ben Simmons story is where we are right now, where he says, I never want to play another minute for this franchise, is because of Doc Rivers. Because Doc Rivers, right after they got eliminated in the press conference, said he couldn't say if he wanted Ben Simmons back, if Ben Simmons was a championship caliber point guard. This was Doc Rivers moments after they got eliminated from the playoffs.
Doc, you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. So I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, he's asked about if Ben Simmons can be a championship player, and his answer was, I don't know. The answer should have been, I love Ben. I think Ben would do some things differently. We'd all do things differently because you're supposed to protect your players. That's what a head coach does. But Doc Rivers doesn't want to take responsibility for anything. So, I'm with everybody else who's blaming Ben Simmons. Yes, it's Ben Simmons' fault. It's not my fault. It's Ben Simmons' fault, right? We talked about this last night, and it was Doc's fault. And for everybody who, you know, came back at me on social media and everywhere, oh, no, Ben Simmons is bad. You can't blame him. It's just, all you needed to see today to know that I was right was who was on TV early this morning making the Ben Simmons apology rounds. Doc Rivers, who goes on ESPN with Stephen A. Smith and talks about Ben Simmons, goes on and on and on talking about how much he loves Ben Simmons. We'd love to have Ben come back. Oh, Ben's our guy. Ben's our guy. Ben's our guy. I don't know if he wants it. We'd love to have him back. Love to have him back. Because this was the Sixers that said, dude, we're in this mess because of you. You go on the apology tour and you make sure everybody knows that we want Ben Simmons back. We got to regain some kind of power in this storyline. He doesn't dictate what we're going to do. Whether he plays with us or we trade him, we got to get some of the power back so we're not just giving him away if we have to deal him, or maybe we can work things out and he wants to come back and play for us. We really didn't do anything in free agency, so unless we want to get boat race this year, we got to have another good player with Joel Embiid. Is this ideal? No, but we can work something out at the trade deadline. But we're in this mess because you decided you wanted to say something bad about Ben Simmons following getting eliminated. So you go out and fix this, right? So that's why we saw it. I told you, I was right about it. But then here comes the best part of it, is that he goes on to say, I love Ben Simmons, I love Ben Simmons. And then when he's asked about the comments that he made right after getting eliminated, that maybe Ben Simmons wasn't your guy, Doc liked to play a little bit of something we call revisionist history.
The question was asked about Ben. It was the first question after we just lost a game seven. My answer was, I'm not answering any of that stuff right now, guys. I don't even know how to answer that. That had nothing to do with about Ben. I was basically saying, I'm not answering that crap, those questions.
No, I don't think so. I don't think
that
might have
been the second question. I don't remember what he was asked afterwards, but he'd asked and answered, I think, is what we have from the clip we had just played.
No, let's hear again what Doc Rivers said. I think that's a little bit different from what he said. Let's hear it.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. So I don't know the answer to that.
No, that's a far cry from I don't want to answer that question. I don't know the answer. I don't know if Ben Simmons is our guy. This is not Doc Rivers' first time in front of the podium at a press conference after a game he has lost. Oh my goodness, the bright lights, it was so hot. My suit was really hot. I didn't know what was asked. I didn't know. No, you've been in that position a lot. You knew exactly what you were doing. But now here you are months later, and how do you come up with some kind of excuse to make it seem like that's not what I meant? This is a high school excuse. This excuse a high schooler gives to say, well, what can I say that sounds plausible? Well, it sounds good in my head, so I'll say it. And then you say it, and your parents look at you and go, really? Really? That's your excuse? Seriously? That's what you're going to come at me with? And you go, well, it seems rock solid to me. I don't understand. Your parents go, I understand, but you're not telling me the truth. No, obviously, he's trying to play revisionist history. It would have been better had he said, yeah, well, you know, I didn't know because, you know, Ben had a rough series, but we've talked about it. We're working through this. We want Ben here. Because players want you to be honest with them. If I'm Ben Simmons and I watch this and I see him say, we want Ben back. Hey, all right. He went out there on public television. I'm not on public TV, went on ESPN. He went on NPR to talk about how much he would like him back. He was on Masterpiece Theater and then he went on. He goes on national TV to say, hey, I'm falling on the sword. We want Ben Simmons back. And so Ben Simmons and his representatives can see, here's Doc Rivers, the guy that really did you wrong after the game. And here he is saying, we want Ben back and I'm sorry. Okay. But then I hear him say, that's not quite what I said. I'm Ben Simmons. I look over at my agent. I go, I'm still not going back there. Now I'm doubly not going back because he couldn't be honest and he couldn't be fully open with what exactly he meant. He's going to sit here and say, oh, that's not what I meant. I meant I'm not answering that question. No, if you were mad, you would have said something. It was completely Doc Rivers trying to remake history, which we've seen so many times now in the world in the past few years. Here's something that happened. No, it didn't really happen. This is what happened. No, we just heard it. I just heard it right here. I just heard Doc Rivers. We played the soundbite for you. And here's Doc Rivers again saying, no, that's not exactly what happened. Doc never wants to take the blame for anything, and that's why he got in this position, and that's why he's in the position he was today, where he had to go out and he had to suck up to Ben Simmons and say, no, we want you back, because the team wanted him to do it, because it was his fault in the first place, but because he couldn't do it, then he ran into trouble with the apology after that. I mean, if I'm Ben Simmons, I see that and I go, yeah, I'm still not going back. And this doesn't excuse him from falling short and not being the full player he should be, right? Because he should be. If Lonzo Ball can work on his three-point shooting and work on his jump shot where he can be a guy that doesn't need to be someone who's great at it but be a threat and improve his value, then Ben Simmons can do that too. And Ben Simmons has been a better player than Lonzo Ball. And that's what I watched Lonzo Ball do for the last 2 years, is try to become a better basketball player. Say what you want, I saw him do it. Ben Simmons could have done it, and he doesn't do it. All right, so that's part. But this is on Doc Rivers. And because Doc Rivers tried to shovel a whole bunch of crap into our cars, this is what he's trying to get us to believe. I got a big pile of crap. I want you to pull your SUV right up here. I want you to put it in park, and I'm going to shovel all kinds of stuff into the back. Yeah, but I got groceries back there. I got dry cleaning. I don't care. I'm shoveling this crap in there, and you're going to believe it. No, I'm sorry. I'm not believing it. And if I'm Ben Simmons, I'm walking away from today saying I feel the same way I did yesterday, because this was just a pile of crap.
Well, I think there's a lot to go through, right? And certainly the two things run in parallel. We can all stipulate that Ben Simmons hasn't worked on his game, still has no threat of a jump shot, has zero threat of beyond the arc. The free throw percentage is cratered, but he's got all the other pieces of the game, right? All defensive teams, drive, kick, get to the rack, all of those things he can do. But when we assess it from the Doc Rivers standpoint, and that's where the focus of this conversation is, we're all stipulating to the limitations in Simmons' games and what came up short in the playoffs. That's not in dispute at all. We stipulate to that. We push that to the side. This is all about Doc Rivers and being a good manager, being a good leader, and recognizing how you protect your house, to steal the old Under Armour phraseology, is that you can't go and answer a question honestly like that. And people may know exactly how you feel about it and may know behind the scenes exactly where there's friction, and maybe Doc had been out on Ben Simmons all along, but you can't say it in that moment. And if he misheard it, then he should have said, hey, can you repeat that? Or gone down a different path to just not address it at all. We failed as a team. We've got some things we need to work on, blah, blah, blah. It starts with me. You know, take a little bit of responsibility as the head coach and a little heat away from your players. I know that's not Doc's style, but as they say, it's never too late to try to change. Not that you can always, but never too late to try. And so you get this 3 months after the fact. You had plenty of time to correct this along the way, by the way. And the agent for Ben Simmons is not a Johnny-come-lately Jag. It's Rich Paul. The guy who runs the damn league, for crying out loud. So, yeah, now you're going to try to soft shoe a mealy-mouthed response talking to Stephen A. Look, I went on the biggest platform that I could possibly get outside of Fox Sports Radio, and I begged for you to come back, and I'm singing, baby, come back. Look, I hired the guy to sing it alongside me, for crying out loud. It ain't going to work. You've got a fractured relationship, and you already aired your laundry. It's not a, hey, we need to work together to be the best team. We need to, you know, reconfigure some things and maybe some strategy. No, you aired him out. Nah, I don't know that he's the guy. Good job by you. And you torpedoed your trade possibilities. Again, good job by you. So that's the thing. Again, we understand where Ben Simmons is as a player. That's not the discussion. Right now, it's the failures of Doc Rivers in this situation. No matter how much people may love him, you got to admit, keeping him away from a microphone unless he's actually, you know, broadcasting games is probably a good idea.
Hey, look, let me tell you, I want to quote something I know you know really well, Rich Paul. I'm going to say hello from the other side. I must have called 1,000 times to tell you I'm sorry for everything that I've done. But when I call, you never seem to be home. So yeah, just let me know, because it's hello, how are you? I'm from the other side. I'm Doc. I forget all the lyrics. It's from the 25 album. I'm very happy with it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burris on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Justin Fields is going to start for the Bears, but Andy's the guy. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And we find out today that Justin Fields is finally getting a shot with the Chicago Bears.
Yay.
I say finally because we should have had the job when training camp opened, but the Bears, after they signed Andy Dalton, went all in on social media. He's our QB1, and every time head coach Matt Nagy has had the chance to say, hey, you know what, we'll see how things go. No, Andy Dalton is our guy. Andy Dalton is our guy. I don't know why. It's like he feels like if he benches Andy Dalton, Andy Dalton's going to be able to sue him and win, or he's going to show up in his office and beat him up. Like, that's really the only reasons I can see why the Bears would still say Andy Dalton's their guy. Because today, Justin Fields was announced the starting quarterback for this week because Andy Dalton is still dinged up from last week. Justin Fields talked about how big a moment this is for him, but Matt Nagy still went on to make sure to say, when Andy Dalton gets healthy, he is our quarterback, which is stupid for a number of reasons. But most importantly, if Justin Fields throws 3 touchdowns and runs for another one and the Bears win, you're really going to bench him? You're really going to do that? You're really going to say, oh, we told Andy he's our guy? You will get run out of Chicago, and it's the last game you'll ever coach. Or if you do happen to make the move, then you look awful and you look stupid because you just said Andy Dalton's our guy, and now he's not. And now suddenly, oh, but I just said it was now. No, now it's things change. Now it's Justin Fields. Matt Nagy can't figure out how to coach his way out of a paper bag on this one. Pick a lane, right? Okay, so he picked the Andy Dalton lane. Why would you go all in on this when you know if Justin Fields plays and he plays well, he's got to keep playing? I don't get it, Mike. I don't get it.
Well, I think one of the things that Matt Nagy could use a PR person. Obviously, we talk about Doc Rivers getting in front of a microphone. Matt Nagy just continues to throw up on himself every time he does. And part of the reason with Andy Dalton, and I think some of the thinking is if Justin Fields plays and he's not ready, it's an indictment on Nagy's ability to coach him up. Ergo, he doesn't get to buy any more time, and he's seen as a failure. And look, it's the Bears organization, so I don't know that they'd fire him. And from all rumor, conjecture, speculation back in Chicago, they'd already extended him an extra year, so he's there through the end of next year regardless. Maybe even 2023. There's speculation that both he and Ryan Pace had their contracts amended. But that's really the only thing I can see. I like your theory of, hey, he can sue him for breach of contract or the verbal commitment that he gave him when they did the recruiting and signed him. That's pretty good. I do dig that. And there's plenty of lawyers across Los Angeles that would be happy to take that case and try to make it work. I have no doubts of that. You want to make your name? Yes, let's go. The idea that you, in this moment, can't just get in front of a microphone and say, you know what, Justin's our guy and we need to see if he's ready to go. We're going to find out, right? All the things that we believe Justin can be the next couple of weeks, we're going to get to see it on the field. And it's our job to coach him up and put the onus on himself, again, like Doc Rivers. Don't make it about Justin Fields at this moment. Make it about your ability to get the best out of him. We all know that he's a great athlete. We all know that he's got a howitzer for an arm and he can make plays with his legs. Talk him up, but make it about you and your scheme and your coaching. And we hope that this and Andy is there and ready should we need him. And leave it at that. Like that. That's it. That's all you need to say. Coaching 101. Tell them nothing.
He's going to show up in my office and beat me up because I promised him he could be the quarterback.
Well, there might be that.
It's like they've elevated Andy Dalton. Like they think they have Joe Montana walking around the facilities, and they really have Joe Montana. I don't understand. Montana's a Chicago guy. You got to like that.
Joe Montana.
I layered that one for you when you kind of let it go.
No. Well, I was trying to think of which Fat Tony reference I wanted to come back to. Or was I going to make fun of the Cubs? What was I going to do there?
All right.
But, But with Matt Nagy, now see, I want to run Joe Montana lines now. Maybe some from Criminal Minds. Yeah. Where he had some like he was, David Caruso.
Jets going to jet, Bears going to bear, Lions going to lion. Coming up next, a big quarterback story, Fox.